The Great Invitation is the title of tonight's devotion, and we have two thoughts: the invitation to praise in verse 1, and the intent for praise, the Lord's great love, the Lord's everlasting faithfulness. Psalm 117 is special because it is the shortest psalm. In fact, it is the shortest chapter in the Bible, consisting of only 2 verses. And Psalm 117 is special for its location. It is the midpoint of the Bible. More so, it is special because a written testimony of God's people is made in relation to their experience with Him. We have not seen God nor touched Him, but He is real. He exists, and He manifests Himself in the life of His people by His great love and by His everlasting word, His everlasting faithfulness to His word, His commitment to mankind, all whom He has created. The shortness gives punch to the message, just like chili padi, small yet hot. It's an invitation of a lifetime with God, with no regrets but blessings. When we come to God, when we become a child of God, you experience the merciful kindness of God. And you know, only the believer can attest to the veracity of God's kindness in our life, God's love in our life. How many times in our life, when we thought that this is it, how are we going to get past this moment? How are we going to get past this day? How are we going to get past this impasse? And yet, when we seek the Lord in prayer, the Lord delivers us, sees us through, and how we have the experiential knowledge of our great God. And this is a psalm giving testimony of a life with God, a vibrant relationship that results in one wanting to extend an invitation to all others who do not know Him to come to Him. This psalm is an invitation to praise to the world at large, to the Gentile nations, to all the people in the world. Praise, all praise the Lord. Verse 1 says, all ye nations. And the word Lord, capital L-O-R-D, is the word Jehovah. It describes the relationship that God has with His people, that we know Him as a personal God. Right? He's one whom we have a personal understanding concerning who He is and what He is doing for our lives, what He's doing for us. And here, the call is to praise the Lord, and the call is to all the nations of the world. You know, when Jesus gave the Great Commission to the church before He ascended to heaven, He said to them, go ye into all nations and preach the gospel. The command and the call is a national, is a call to witness to nation states in the world. And this call is to all people to acknowledge Israel's God. You know, during our adult Sunday school, we started the study of the book of Zechariah. And we were speaking about the life of God's people who came back from the captivity after 70 years. How you know, the temple was no longer like the glory it was 70 years ago. Solomon's temple was razed to the ground. And they were asked to reconstruct a new temple, but they had a lack of resources. They have a lack of ability. They have a lack of everything, and enemies were surrounding them, and it was a precarious situation for them. And yet, God, through His prophet Zechariah and Haggai, encouraged them to the building. And God gave to Zechariah visions concerning the future of Jerusalem, the glory of Jerusalem in the future to come. Today, this morning, we were studying the book of Exodus, the beginning of the Hebrew nation, and how God told Israel that they are a special people. God said that you are a peculiar treasure to me. You are a prize, you are my prized possession. You are very special, and that you are a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. What, imagine a kingdom of priests. A priest is one who represents himself before God for other men. And a kingdom of priests, Israel was to be that nation that represents, is a witness to the truth of the living and true God. And how we said that Zechariah also gives to us a picture in Zechariah chapter 8, how, you know, the people in the world in a time to come would pull the skirt of the Jew, right? Pull the clothing of the Jew and said to him, bring me to Jerusalem. I want to know and worship this God. At that time, Christ was ruling from Jerusalem as king. And today, it is not yet. Men are still lost, not knowing their bearing, don't understand who their God is. But the invitation for us who knows Him, the mandate for us who knows Him is to be a witness, to tell others such a happy thing, that you're a child of God. You know, we said that no matter what happens to the Christian, one may be stricken with cancer, one may be plagued with weakness in the body, one may even die from a so-called unfortunate accident. But the Lord wants us to know, the Lord wants us to see and wants us to understand, wants us to have the idea, right, that of the truth, right, God, well, is with His people, right, and God is doing His great will, His will, right, to save a dying world, and this is a call to all the people to acknowledge the God of Israel, to come before Him, to praise Him, to come in thanksgiving and filial acknowledgement that the Lord is God. So the invitation to praise. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise Him, all ye people. How we wish we are able to broadcast the message of our salvation, the message of our testimony to the whole world, to let the whole world know what a great God we worship, what a great God we serve, and how He is so good to us. Here, the praise is one of jubilance. The first praise is a call to thanksgiving and acknowledgement. And this second praise, one of a praise that has a coming effect for the soul. that we, when we acknowledge and have our sins forgiven, there is peace and joy and a great calmness in our soul that tells us we have our sins forgiven. Now, do we take time to confess our sins before God? When we do so, when we take time to repent of our sins, right, we take time to confess our sins, we take time to seek God, and what happens? Well, we know of a truth, right, that when we come before Him in contrition of heart, right, God is so good to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So this praise comes from one who is totally happy, at peace with God, right? Because you know that absent in the body is present with the Lord. We know that we are not going to live forever here on earth. This physical body will one day give way. You know, whether our hands give way, our legs give way, our minds give way, something will give way. And you know, that's life. And so the Lord wants us to realize and see, you know, that however, whichever part of the body that gives way doesn't matter. Right? Absent in the body, present with the Lord. And the day will come when God will reconstruct and give to us glorified bodies. Right? Bodies where, you know, that will not age anymore. Bodies that will not tarnish anymore. Bodies that would be incorruptible. That would be able to last for eternity. So, if you think of it carefully, what God is doing for us, His people, right, you realize that, wow, there's no cause for alarm. Right, as you go through the suffering and pain in this life. But for those who do not know Him, right, you'll find that this is a great... life is a frightening reality. Life is a frightening reality. But for us who know Him, we know that this Lord, our God, is a loving Father. Our Father in heaven. And we have a good Father. Father who takes care of us. And we were saying this morning that, you know, the pagan gods, they don't know. Or those who worship pagan gods. The pagan god is a dreadful one, a judge. You will not see a pagan god, right, as one who is a loving Father, who take care of your needs, who give you, who answer your prayer. And this is the God that we serve. And so the invitation to praise in verse 1 and verse 2, the intent for praise, the Lord's great love. For His merciful kindness is toward us. How rich is the meaning of this word? Merciful kindness of God. The kindness of God, His compassion, His love toward us. And merciful. We deserve punishment, but God withheld that punishment. You know, if we think about the salvation that we receive in Christ, right, we see that there is nothing that is in us inherently that is anything worthy of receiving God's kindness. And yet, you know, God was kind to reach out to us. You know, when our Savior came on earth, He had to go the way of the cross. From Gethsemane to Calvary. When Abraham was asked to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, the son of his old age, the son that he waited 25 years, the son that came when he was 100 years old, when he was a teenager, God said to him, sacrifice your son. And you know how difficult it is as a human father. We understand, right, to lose a child, how difficult it is. But God did not allow Abraham to lose Isaac. A lamb or a goat was caught in the thicket to save Isaac. But our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, gave, and he had to bear all our sins. He had to go the way of the cross. He sweat drops of blood in order to bear our sins. The loving, merciful kindness of God, the great love of God, how great it is. You know, the justice of God, the mercy of God, the justice of God and the mercy of God comes together at the cross. How being a just God, right, sin has to be punished. No way out. God is just. And yet, God, in his mercy, devised a way that he had to pay the price himself. What great love. The price was not paid by somebody else. But it's easy for us to say, I shift the responsibility to someone else and let that someone carry it. No. Our Lord, our God himself, in his Son, the Son is most precious to the Father. And yet God sacrificed. God, the Son willingly, God sent the Son. How great is the kindness of God. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Oh, how great thy goodness for us who know him. There's a fear of God in our hearts. There's a reverence of God in our hearts because we know who he is and we know what he has done before us. He deserves our adoration. He deserves our respect. He deserves our love for what he had done for us, for the sacrifice unconditionally that he had wrought for us. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So here, when the psalmist tells us, for his merciful kindness is toward us, he's saying to us, or he's speaking by experience. He has tasted, he has seen the goodness of God. Abraham, when he saw the goat that God gave for the sacrifice, what did he say? Before that, he said to his son, the Lord will see to it. And then finally, when he saw what God provided, he said, the Lord indeed has seen to it. Jehovah Jireh. God sees, God will see to it. God sees what you're going through, the difficulties that you're going through, and God will see to it that he will help you. He provided. The God of redemption. What a great God we serve. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. For all who would turn to him in repentance, all who would come to him will receive help. The people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go and talk to the Ninevites because they were very cruel people. To him, they don't deserve to be saved. But God has already earmarked the prophet for his prophetic work, in giving his prophetic word, that if they don't repent, God is going to judge the entire city. And so there was a great searching from the king to all who were in the city, and they all repented in sackcloth and ashes. Jonah thought them incorrigible, cannot be helped. But God did not think so. In the heart of God, in his merciful kindness, he wanted to give that city an opportunity. I remember the time when Abraham negotiated with God in prayer concerning the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, "But perchance if there be 50, save the city. Less 5. Perchance there be 30, 40, 20, 10. There was not even 10. You see, God hearkened to the prayer of Abraham, the plea of Abraham, but there were not even 10 righteous in that city. The Lord wants us to see how God's plan to save the world, to save the nations of the world through the Messiah of Israel. This was God's mercy to the world, and that the world may see and understand who this Messiah is and come to him for salvation. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 15, he says in verse 8, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. For it is written, as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And again he said, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." And again I say, again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." And again Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust." This is the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Lord, whom we are inviting the world to receive. The Lord's great love, the Lord's enduring faithfulness, all who would come to him through Jesus Christ shall be saved. God is faithful to his promises, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. He is faithful to all that he has promised. He changes not. His truth, his promises, has an enduring nature. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." The truth of God, the truthfulness of God and his promises. You know, when God gave to Abraham the promise that his seed is going to inherit the land, he did not live to see the promise of God fulfilled in his lifetime. Neither was it in his son's son. But God was true to his word. I remember the prayer of John Newton's mother. John Newton's mother prayed for his son, John Newton. And then she died. She died when he was very young. Young age, 5-6 years old. But mother had a good number of early years to train him in the things of God. And so when he was old, you know, he became a sailor, and he imbibed the sin of seafaring sailor, a seafaring sinner. All the vices that you can think of, he committed. And then God sent a storm. He was in the boat, and it was precarious. God gave him the word, and then he kneeled and he prayed, and he asked God to save him, because he remembered his mother's God, and he cried for mercy. So, you see how great our God is to honor the prayer of his people. If you would pray, and you pray in faith, believing in the will of God, will he not answer your prayer? Of course he will answer. And we can surely attest to the goodness of God, to the mercy of God, to what God had done or will do for us. What is the burden that is in your heart? Well, for the psalmist, it is for those who are still outside his kingdom, God's kingdom, outside the Lord. He is very concerned for this. And I believe it must be for us too. For us who are saved, you know, there's nothing more that can be added to the great salvation that God has already wrought for us. But something that we can do in the will of God for his kingdom's sake, that the people around us can be saved. That we may take the trouble, take the time, take the energy to do something, to share the word, to give a tract, to talk to someone, to invite someone to church. And, you know, by our testimony, they would come. They would listen. And it is for us, you know, by God's grace and mercy, to win them for the Lord. The invitation to praise, the intent for praise, the Lord's great love, the Lord's everlasting faithfulness. May the Lord energize us. May we realize the great privilege we have as God's children. And may we show forth all the good that we have received by our love and submission to his word, in being a good witness for God's glory. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for this night of prayer. May thou be gracious to bless our prayer meeting, our prayer time, for thy own honor and glory. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.